There are so many good things, so many good things that God wants you to have, and it just takes a little time, takes a little effort. And you can't really enjoy it if you come to church. There's no way to really enjoy it unless you get in the Spirit. Because sitting on the benches, you get tired. Even if the benches are comfortable, you still find yourself getting tired. You get weary, especially mothers with their little ones. But nevertheless, I make a comparison like this. If I was digging for gold, and there was plenty of gold to dig for, I no doubt would get tired. But I got a feeling I'd keep on digging. If I was picking up chunks of gold, I got a feeling I'd keep on digging. And that's the way it is, folks. These are some great mines that God has opened up. The Bible speaks of the mines of Solomon. Solomon had great minds. And we've got some great minds to dig from. And the greatest one of all is the mind of Christ. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now you might dig from Paul's mind and Peter's mind and some other minds, but the greatest one of all is the mind of Christ. So we've got some great minds to dig from. And if we try to get into something, we can get into something. If we really want something from God, we can get it. I bubble. Yeah, I'm like that little spring, it bubbles. I bubble all the time. On the inside, I have to keep myself. I'm bubbling right now. You know, I bubble. On the inside, I just feel that little thing just bubbling up in there, you know. And it just goes all through me and just breaks me all up on the inside, you know, like a plow striking the fallow ground. I'm bubble because I'm full of that wonderful thing that's in that mind in there. A mind, a shaft has been opened, as we say, a mind. And I am bubbling because I'll be standing here looking at you and I'll be talking to you and he'll be talking to me. And you'll be listening to me and I'll be listening to him. And I hear him, you know, and he reminds me of all them wonderful things. And I look out there and I think, you know, about you like this. When I was a little boy, we'd get on the back of the truck. We done shined our pennies, didn't have but two or three, and we was on the way to the store. Could get a lot with a penny then. You know, but between the time that we left the house and going to the store, I didn't see all them goodies except in my mind. But all them goodies was going around, and I was thinking about my pennies, how far they would go. See, and I look out there, and I think about a lot of you, and I think, now they ain't got to the store yet. They hadn't gotten to the store, you know. They're just kind of shining their pennies. Bible said, and God gave every man a penny. And they're just kind of shining their pennies. But after a while, they're going to get to the store. And oh my God, what they're going to see. My, when I got into that store, them pennies looked like they were 10 times what they'd been before. I couldn't keep my appetite away from them things. We was a little country boy, and we didn't have much like that, you know. But anyway, I bubble on the inside. I think of the wonderful things of God, and I think, oh my God, Lord, if I could show these to my audience, if I could show these to my children, my spiritual children, my natural children too. I think, oh my God, if they could see them, church would be so sweet they couldn't stay home anymore. The serving God would be so great, it would be so mighty, they'd say, oh my God. Oh my God, I never knew that this is where we were and this is who we are and this is what we're doing and this is the way it is. So I bubble. But I thank the Lord, you know, because like I was saying to Betty today, the leaves fall. In the fall they come. Used to, when we got water, I had to go down to a spring. We had to walk down through the woods and then get down to a spring and we'd dip our bucket down the spring. We had to dip way down because there's leaves on the top of it, sometimes mud on the top of it. And we'd have to dip way down, and then when we come up with a bucket like that, all the leaves, all the mud, everything just go every which way. And the water was so good tasting and so cold and looked so good. I'm sure that many of you have done it. So, in the fall, because of the fall of Adam, they put on the leaves. And he said, of the dust thou art. And the mud came. And all of it covered up the little spring. And it keeps it from bubbling a lot of times. You don't know about it. Like the sun on the globe. But if you keep praying, you keep searching, you dig. Yeah, the Bible said, out into the deep. You go way down into the deep. And then you come up. And you'll see all that stuff break up and just go every which way. And then you'll see the little spring that's bubbling. And you'll taste the good, refreshing water from heaven. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right. I want to read just a little bit from over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. Listen now. Thus saith the Lord, not Brother Pike now. Thus saith the Lord. Brother Taylor, you keep judgment. Folks, you judge righteous judgment. Don't just judge anyway. You're the judge of all the earth. Know ye not that the saints shall judge angels? Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment. Don't let it get away from you. Always judge right. Judge a situation right. No matter what, always judge right. Even if it's going to hurt you and your loved ones, judge right. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment. How many remember when the Lord walked down to Sodom and Gomorrah with Abraham? Abraham had been so indoctrinated with the things of God, and he was so compassionate, and he thought about Lot, and it just hurt him so bad to think that Lot was going to be destroyed. He turned to God Almighty. He said, shall not the God of all the earth judge righteously? Can you imagine a man talking to God like that? A little speck in the universe? Like Moses saying, nay, Lord, you can't destroy them people. Because if you do, then your name will be put down. And they'll say, you just let them out here to kill them. God let man do that. God come down. And God, the great spirit, become a human being. Made himself a human form. He become a man. So that he could fellowship us. Talk with us. Have somebody to stand like Peter and say, nay, nay, Lord. And the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me. No, not me. Talk with God like a man. He put an image there, something in between him as the great spirit and the individual. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want to break forth on man. He didn't want to consume man. He didn't want to destroy man. He loved man. Man was his body. He being a spirit, he'd made man to live in and dwell in. Life is God, and God is life. And Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life, and I come that you might have life more abundant. And life loves the body, and the body loves life. And the body wants life and the fullness of life. And Jesus said that you might have it filled up and overflowing. David said, my cup runs over. See, and so the body is wanting life, the fullness of life. And life is wanting the body in complete surrender. Like the songwriter said, I surrender, Lord, I surrender all. All to thee, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. So then, life. Life. We're speaking of life. You know, a lot of times we need to consider this thing concerning life. We'll kind of run off on a branch here. We'll get back to the theme of our thought now. But remember, we need to consider life. We're not just preaching something to you here. We're preaching life to you. I'm preaching life to you. I come to bring you life and that more abundant, filled up and overflowing to give you the abundance of life. So he says in the word here, you've got to keep judgment. I run down through these things of Peter arguing back and Abraham and the others because God had made himself a body and God had come down, life had personified itself, and God had come down in a human form, the word of spirit and the word of life. And I wish we had time to go into those things and detail them and bring them out in the origin. Some of those things we talked to Betty about today. But see, he had come down. Life in its fullness had come down. And life was standing there. So life loved the body and the body loves life. God, the great spirit, he made this body for himself so that he could fill it with life and fill all of your surroundings with his environment and his presence. Like the little light bulb, it's got the light on the inside, but it also radiates through the little light bulb, the light does, and it goes all out and everything around becomes light. God wants to radiate through me, and God wants to radiate through you so that we can become life to the others. But at the same time, God, to relate to me, God, to relate to you, had to become a human being because I'd have been afraid of him otherwise. I'd have been afraid of him, God, the great light that no man can approach. Just the fact that Moses got in the light. The people said, you talk to God. We don't want to talk to God. We're afraid. We're scared. Now you people, you're not all that afraid for this reason. You've been indoctrinated as to the goodness of God and the love of God. And you've entered into the light of God through Jesus Christ. And you're moving on into that light. So see, you're trying to absorb. But a person that's totally ignorant to God, they're afraid. They get into witchcraft. They get into all kinds of things throughout the world. And their minds get into a terrible condition. And they're afraid to even get near that light. You understand what I'm saying? So it says here, we'll start off by keeping judgment and do justice. Do justice. You know, whatever is just, whatever is right. He said, enter into the vineyard. I will give you whatever is just. And whatever is right. So then he said, you keep judgment and do justice. When you judge a situation by judgment, be sure that your judgment is just. Be sure that you allow for everybody. You know, we're so one-sided in our life until all that we can think about is us. And we're so gullible in our desire that in spite of all of our efforts to try to be just to the other fella and treat the other fella right, in our thinking we're going to be just a little bit evasive and we're going to pull it over to our end to where we get the better end of the deal. Think it out sometimes. Watch it sometimes. When you're doing what you think is your very best to be just, then just think it out and find out just how crooked you really are, even at your best. And you'll find out always for your children, for you, for my foe and no more, as it has been said in the past. For those that you relate to and the self, you'll always pull the string just a little bit. See, and you always do it just a little bit to your side. You may want to pull another person to the line. You may demand that another person do thus and thus. But when it comes down to you, you're going to curve the thing just a little bit. And when you do this, you're just that much unlike Jesus. You just cut off yourself that much from the riches and the treasure that you would have gotten. Because when you do that, you determine your measure. As to that you do unto others, so will God do unto you. He said, do unto others as you would have God or others to do unto you. Because he's going to serve you the same way that you serve. As to the measure that you mete out, he said, I'm going to measure it back to you. Again, as the man thinketh in his heart, whether he's crooked, evasive, or straight, or whatever, God is going to measure it back to him. I don't care whether he looks good when he looks at himself in the mirror, or whether he's bald-headed, or whether she thinks she's Miss Princess, or whether she's just some old hag as to her thinking. God is going to measure back to you according to your thoughts and according to the way that you've measured out to others. So then, folks, charity begins at home, and the heart is home. Not as some gullible person decided, I ain't going to give no money to the poor because I'm going to keep it all for myself. See, so charity begins at home. And unless you have charity, the Bible said you don't have nothing. You might say, well, I got a gift. I'm like Balaam. I can see the Lord with my eyes open. I say it and it comes to pass. But God said you can prophesy, you can have miracles, you can be a preacher, you can be a laity, you can be whatever you want to be, you can be rich, you can be educated. He said, but if you don't have charity, he said, you're like sounding brass in a tinkling cymbal. You're nothing to God. You don't amount to nothing. So then we're looking for judgment. We're looking for justice. We're looking for charity. He said, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment. Keep ye judgment. And do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. See, the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, the prophet prophesying, he's done heard from heaven. The word of the Lord came unto the prophets. And here it is. It's come from heaven. And that word of the Lord is saying, prophesy, prophesy. Tell my people to keep judgment, to stop all of this foolishness among the tribes. Stop all of this foolishness that's in commerce. Stop all of this foolishness of false scales and these other things. Keep judgment. Judge right. He said, and do justice. He said, for Calvary is close at hand. Calvary is close at hand. My salvation is on its way. It's not very far off. My salvation is near at hand. Prophet, tell the people. And now here we are in this day, way on the other side of Calvary. And here we are, hollering at you again, speaking to you again, lifting up our voice like a trumpet again, to show you of your sins, to tell the house of Jacob of their wrongs, and to say, do judgment, keep justice, for the salvation of the Lord is near at hand. So he said, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on this, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. That is to say, we've entered into the Sabbath. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We've entered into God's Sabbath. Let's don't do evil on this day. Let's don't do wrong on this day. You young boys, you young girls, listen at me. I tell you in the name of the Lord, you do something. You feel like you get by with it, but you didn't get by with it. You young girls that did something was a little evasive as to judgment and truth and justice. You thought you got by with it. But I tell you, you didn't get by with it. God laid it up. And God laid it up. And God laid it up. And everything that you do, God lays it up. And then after a while, he says, I'm tired of it. The preacher told you and he told you and you did this thing and I've been slow to wrath and I've been slow to anger and I told you not to do that and I told you not to trouble the church and I told you not to trouble the preacher and I told you not to do these things wrong, but you did it anyway and you felt real good about it. You felt like you got by with it, but I've got it laid up and the other thing is laid up and the other thing is laid up and now I'm angry, God would say. I'm angry, I'll take you and I'll tear you apart, he said. He said, beware ye that forget godless, I tear you into pieces. I'll tear you apart. I'll send you down the road and I'll let a tractor trailer run into you or a bus or I'll let a car run into you and I'll just tear you into ribbons. I'm tired of you. I won't tolerate it anymore. I'm tired of it. I've laid it aside and laid it aside and laid it aside. and you turned my grace into lasciviousness. You didn't use my grace to get closer to God and to learn to do judgment and justice. You didn't use my grace to be able to come into the right things of God. You didn't use it the way that I told you to use it. You didn't use it according to the way that I gave it to you. And you've turned it into lasciviousness. That is, you're filled with your lasciviousness and filled with your ways and filled with doing your own thing. Now that you've done this, God will say, I'm tired of it now. I'm weary of it now. I told you, I've told the parents. The parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. I told the people, I told you to correct your son. You didn't do it. You let your son trouble the church. You let your son trouble God's people. I told you to correct your daughters, but you didn't do that. You let your daughters do like they wanted to, like in the days of Eli, when the sons just went in there and gullibly grabbed anything that they wanted, done any way that they wanted to do, acted any way that they wanted. And finally, God got so upset, he just, like that, he killed the sons and killed Eli too. See, but you don't say anything, though the preacher will tell you. And he'll say, don't let that son do like that, and don't let that daughter do like that. And somebody says, well, I can't help it. I told them. That ain't good enough, folks. You can't help it, and you've told them ain't good enough. You need to pick up the rod. The Bible said, spare the rod and spoil the child. You say, but I can't put the rod on him. Then let him hit the road. If he's big enough, he can't take the rod, let him hit the road. Somebody says, but I'm afraid that he'll get in trouble. Don't you ever worry. He's already in trouble anyway with God and with the law, and he's already in trouble with everything else too. If he's old enough to do evil and he's old enough to think evil, like Jesus said, at a young age, I must be about my Father's business. He's old enough to get out there and make his way. He's old enough to straighten up if he's going to stay at home. And so is the daughter. Now he said, well, I told her, I told mine too. And mine still does wrong. In spite of the fact that I've told my daughters, they still do wrong. In spite of the fact that I told my sons, they still do wrong. They still do wrong. They break the ordinances that we have even here at the campground. They break the rules. I've asked them about the long sleeve. Somebody said, bless God, that ain't got nothing to do with salvation. It is a rule and a regulation to cover up the flesh, to keep down lust. It helps keep down lust. When the sleeves get above the elbows and start getting up in here, a little lust starts perking up, and the first news you know, they cut them out, and you can see slap through the dress. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But does the people honor the rules? Somebody came to me the other day and said, show it to me in the Bible. It was one of my children. Show it to me in the Bible. I said, there it is right there in the Bible. It says, children, obey thy parents. And this is what your parents said. I said, it's rules and regulations. It's something that we've said. It's in the Bible. When children don't obey God and they don't obey the fathers and the mothers and they don't honor those that have rulership over them, they are wrong. Paul spoke to his women workers and his men workers, and he said, look, he said, those that I have put in authority, he said, you honor them. Them that are watching for your soul and them back there that's trying to work with me in the gospel. He said, you honor them and you try to obey them the best you can, because they're watching for your soul and they care for you and they're trying to do something for you. Said, honor those people, folks. Here in this work right here as to world evangelism, I've got people that has been appointed to certain places. You need to honor them. You need to honor them. You say, but Brother Pike, they lord over me and I don't think they treat me right. Bring it to men's meeting. That's why you have a legislative staff down there. Bring it to men's meeting. Turn it in. Somebody said, well, I did and they didn't do nothing about it. Well, you didn't turn it in to me. You see that it gets to me. If you turn it in to some of your leaders and your leaders doesn't bring it to Brother Pike, you personally see that it gets to Brother Pike. You find out if Brother Pike got it. Sometimes things come in and they lay on Betty's desk and I have to go through the wilderness to find it. And sometimes I don't ever find it. But the thing is, if you bring it to me, if I get it, I'll do something about it. Because that's what we're preaching about. What good would it do to put a law up here if there wasn't going to be somebody to enforce it? If there's any of my leaders, if there's any of my people that's not showing judgment and not showing justice and they're not trying to consider your cause, then bring it to me. I want to know what it is. I want to know what it is so that we can make the thing right. So then, the rules and regulations of the campground, some of the boys are making some smart remarks about what they're going to do. What is mother going to do about that? What is daddy going to do about that? You see, I've told them. I told mine too. But I've had to tell mine again. And I've had to tell mine again. And I've had to tell mine again. And I've had to tell mine to the extent that I told them. I said, if you can't do what you're supposed to do, get off of this campground and find you another place. If you're old enough to argue with me and old enough to press over me by letting the devil use you, go find you another place. I don't need you here. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody said, the daughter and the son. Yes, the daughter and the son. I stretch a long ways with my daughter and my sons, or my daughters and my sons, and I stretch a long ways with you and your daughters and your sons. But folks, there comes a time when we need to do judgment. There's a time for judgment. There's a time when the judge sits on the judgment seat and he's called by God to do judgment. And there's times when he's called to do justice. And if you agree with your son and if you agree with your daughter in these things that are contrary with God, then you're bidding at God's feet and you're partakers of their evil. So you go with your son and daughter. When they go over the campground, or when God puts them out of the kingdom of God, or when God rejects them, then you go with them because you're part of them. Because you are just the powers of evil that's gotten on the campground or come in the presence of God to present yourself just the power of evil to stand there to leave an open door for the corruption that it might continue. So you need to get out too. So then we hear the Lord saying, the salvation is near at hand. Do judgment. Keep justice. So what do we do? Somebody says, what do we do, Brother Pike? The Lord said, if you don't have a plan, I do. They said, well, what do we do with this rebellious son? You say, keep judgment and justice. What do I do with him? I don't know what to do with him. God said, well, I got a program. Bring him out here. And he told all the people, said, stone him to death. So that's the program. That'll take care of it. You love the Lord? I said, God is straight up front. God said to Moses, Moses started pleading the cause of some people. And God knew that they were wicked. And God said, Moses, I shall in no wise acquit the wicked. I'm not going to do it. You think that God's going to do it. You know, you look around and you see the world and their ball games and their frolics and the things of the world. So you say, well, God's got soft. God's got soft. And everybody said, God is love. God's got soft. God is love. God's not the God of judgment anymore. But God says to Brother Pike, keep judgment. God is not the God of justice anymore. See, and God looks down and God says, you think that I'm altogether such a one as you are because I'm slow to wrath. He said, but someday I'm going to meet you. And I'm going to meet you face to face and I'll tear you into pieces, he said. Then you'll know that I didn't let you get by with all of these things that you've done. Folks, billions of people in the world today, have they gotten by? I want to tell you the name of the Lord, they haven't gotten by. It's stacked up and it's stored up and the mercy of God has continued. And you boys and girls at Bethlehem, you better listen, you better look. Look back at the other boys and girls that's been here. Look at them that's gone to prison. Look at them that's been in wrecks. Look at them that's got problems. Look at them that's been deprived of their blessings and the things like their driver's license and many other things. Money, can't hardly make a living just from one little thing to another. Can't excel. God is not blessing them. Look at them. All because they opposed Brother Pike. All because they opposed the brethren of Little Bethlehem. All because they opposed God and the kingdom of God and the things of God. People are doing it around the world. All because of that, you're in problems. You're in trouble. God's got a program. God's got a plan. God's got a way. God's got a rule. God's got a regulation. And folks, if we don't keep some of those rules and if we don't keep some of those regulations, our campground in our land of America or wherever it is in the world that you cherish the place, it is going to be turned into a hogwash. It's going to be turned into a cesspool of iniquity. I've got women on this campground. They won't listen. I don't care. You can give them everything you got, financially or whatever. But an old devil's got a hold of them and they're determined to have their way. And they're going to reproach this if they have to stay out here at the gate or out in the field or in somebody's yard or have to go to town half naked or whatever. They're going to reproach what I'm doing. They're not going to listen because they're filled with the devil. It is the devil on the inside of them. And they're filled with the devil and their children of the devil to come and reproach us. And I got people that's in the midst of us, men and women alike. They come here. It's the sons and daughters of the devil. They come to Bethlehem. They come into the sanctuary just like Satan went into the presence of God. And they come here. They're filled with the devil. They're children of the devil. When Jesus tried to preach the gospel, they got right around him and said, "Who are you?" And they kept probing to him and said, "Why did you do this on the Sabbath?" He said, "You are of your father the devil, so that's what's wrong with you." Everything that Paul tried to do, he was hindered. He said the Jews stoned him. 5 times was I beaten, Paul said. Took me before the whipping post 5 times. They plowed my back. It pleased God that his son should be revealed in my life. Thrice was I beaten with rods. They beat me with rods. And once was I stoned and left for dead. And many other things because I tried to do what was right. Didn't bother nobody. Just wanted to do what was right. But all of them gathered together against Paul. The Bible said, "Why has these gathered together against thee?" Isn't it Satan? Isn't it the work of the devil? Isn't it because they see Christ in your life and they are gathering together against the Christ? Isn't it the devils and demons that's in human form and human minds that's coming against the Christ that's in your life and trying to smother out the Christ or build such a reproach around you that nobody will ever listen to you and you'll never be influential in anything as pertaining to the Word of God? Said, isn't this what it's all about? They shall gather together against you. But he said, not of me. Not of me. I'll make them to flee before you. Your ways please God, I'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. Boys and girls, especially of Bethlehem, you listen to me. Listen to me, I tell you in the name of the Lord, listen to me. My daughters, my sons, your daughters, your sons, I ask you in the name of the Lord to listen to me. Mothers and daddies, listen to me. You try to work with your mother and daddy, son and daughter. And mother and daddy, you make a special effort to guide that child's life. The Bible said a child left to himself will bring shame. You do something about it. You get down to business. You make sure that you do the job. Women that's running around on the campground, that's determined to press over Brother Pike and make Brother Pike do what you want to do, I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, I'll never do what you want to do. You are a liar when you say the things that you say. Talking about God is going to kill the preacher and God is going to give this to you and you're going to have this. You are a liar. I tell you to your face, you are a liar. God ain't never said nothing like that. You are of the devil or you wouldn't say it. Jumping to trouble God's people. You'd better repent of your sins and get straight with God and do the thing that God's commanding you to do. Don't you try to override God and override the principles of Bethlehem. Don't you rise up in your temper. I've got a woman here that she's continually rising up when it comes to the school and comes to the things of the school. She's continually rising up and she's spewing and she's saying the things that she wants to say. I made the statement the other day, somebody saw her in a vision and she was a witch. I'm telling you, you'd better watch out what you're doing. The Bible said, "Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?" When you don't obey the truth, you are a witch. And the Bible said, we are not to spare a witch. We're to bring out the sword and we're to kill every witch. And you are a witch. So then, quit bewitching the people. Paul said to the Galatians, "Who hath bewitched thee that thou should not obey the truth?"
So then, mothers and daddies, I'm telling you, you need to get down to business. You need to get straightened out in your heart and in your life. And sons and daughters, you'll need to get straightened out in your life. Don't oppose Brother Pike. There's one sitting in you right now, a boy of age, and he's already made his boast how he's going to oppose me and how he's going to try to mix up things among the black and the white and what he's going to do. But I'm warning you in the name of Jesus, it's just like it was said many years ago, this great anvil has worn out many a hammer, and you're going to wear out your hammer and wind up on the wrong side of the fence. So then you need to get in here with me. You need to love the Lord. You need to work with me. You need to forget about this foolishness. Forget about the things of the world and come out from among the world and be a separate people. You need to get sanctified. God would like to use you in the spiritual gifts. Talking about judgment and justice now. Do judgment. You brethren that legislate. You brethren that are in authority. Don't pounce on somebody. Don't be always riding somebody. Somebody's case when another person over here is doing twice as bad. And you're straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. You're supposed to be leader. Get the mold out of your eye or the beam out of your eye. Get it cleared out. God wants you to use righteous judgment. To judge righteously. If you are dignitaries of God, if you are legislative powers of God, then you need to vote right. You need to speak right. You need to think right. You need to be sure before you fire off. You need to stop and think and not jump up every time we're having a conference and give your ideas. The Bible said to give the sacrifice of fools, which is your thoughts and your ideas. You need to judge a situation while you're at home. You need to think it over. You need to meditate in His laws. You need to see what the Word says about it. You need to hear what the conversation is and hear it through before you give your opinion. And then you need to stand up and say, brethren, I have come to this conclusion that something isn't right, that whatever you're doing here, it doesn't fit the Scripture. And God has revealed this to me, and I want to pass it on to you. And that way you help to bring sound government. Don't go off like some of the legislative powers up here in Washington, play golf all day and tired and weary from frolic, and then come and thumb through something, say, well, I guess so, this is on my desk, I guess I better sign it. They're getting tired, it's been here so long. Not knowing what it is, not knowing who it will affect, not knowing what kind of thing that you're doing as to hurting the people and the system of the people. You need to understand. You need to know. You need to watch. You need to pray. You need to search. You need to hunger. You need to thirst after the things of God. You need to have the wisdom and understanding of the Lord Jesus. You need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So then, he's speaking of doing judgment. Let's do judgment. Let's do justice. Let's be a great people. I still tell you, speaking to everybody, all, Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. I say that you need to do judgment. You need to do justice. But speaking to the people of little Bethlehem, our people of God that really love the Lord, you can't understand who you are and how great and mighty you are and how powerful you are and what your words have to do with it. You don't have any idea how great and mighty you are as a people of God. And you need to do right. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? You need to have judgment. You need to have justice. You need to stop and think. You need to do something. No man would start off in an automobile until he had determined whether he was in reverse or in a forward gear. He'd want to know which way he was going. So, you need to try to understand. And you, brethren, especially of little Bethlehem, when you are down here legislating, you make sure that what you do is right. And if you want to pounce on one individual, stop and think if there's another individual in that kind of condition. And stop and think if maybe you're in that kind of condition. When you make allowance for others as well as yourself. So, I said all this to just try to get over a few thoughts here. And that is that we are called of God. We are God-chosen people. And God is expecting something out of us. And He's demanding that you do something. Some of you brethren right here, some of you sisters, there are gifts in your life. I know that there's gifts in your life. I've seen those gifts. I've passed by you, but I've never tried to encourage you into those gifts. Not very much. You say, well, why not, Brother Pike? I think that's cruel. No, if a little boy has been given a gift by his father, and it's a rifle, and all he wants to do is blow somebody's brains out with it, you don't need to encourage him as to how to use it. It's better if he didn't even know that he had it, even though it's been given to him. And when you get up, when you begin to listen to the things that I'm telling you, and try to do the things that I'm telling you, and try to do judgment and justice and get into the right place, I'll encourage you in those gifts. There are some gifts in your lives, and those gifts should be working in the church. And those gifts should be working out in the field. And those gifts should be working in harmony with the minister and with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as to winning souls and doing things for Christ. See, but you're going to have to get straightened out. You're going to have to walk straight. The Bible said, make straight paths for yourself. Make straight paths for yourself, that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. Make straight paths for yourself. Perfect holiness unto God. Come before us blameless, Paul said. Try to be godly, add godliness. Be like God. Try to be like God. Be like God. Be like Jesus. We sing this song to be like Jesus. Be like God. You need to be like Jesus. See, every day of your life, you need to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We say these things to you in the way of exhortation, just trying to exhort you a little bit here and there. But folks, how I long to go into the revelation of the Son of God. Every service, every time, to bring out what you are and who you are, and to reveal to you the wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. I thank God that I had the privilege today driving alone. Betty, the children wasn't in the car. She was by herself. I'm glad that I had the privilege of speaking the revelation of Jesus Christ to her all the way from Canton down to the church this morning. I thank God for that, because I want Betty to know I love her very much. She stood with me, and whatever I am, that's what she is, or whatever I receive, that's what she should have. I've been riding down the road speaking of revelation to Sister Betty, and I've seen her just break and cry. I mean, just cry, her heart broken, tears streaming. And she'd say, oh my God, my children are not getting it. Oh my God, she said, my children are not getting it. And she said, George, it breaks my heart. Said, my children are not getting this, and they're not seeing this. And she'd just be tore all to pieces. But you know, you're my children. You're my children. Now, I've got many children, children throughout the world, and I want you to get it, whether natural children, whether spiritual children, I want you to get it. I want you to have it. God wants you to have it. It's His will that you should have it. So, if we're willing to get it, we can have it. Don't let the devil dwarf you in your mind by quoting some scripture to you or bringing something to you that's out of the context and not proper. The Bible said you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. That's good enough. That's good enough. That ye should know all things. And Jesus said, what my Father has made known unto me, I have made known unto you. That is, I gave it to you in Calvary. It's a fountain that's open. And you can come and just draw water from it just as regular as you like. You can come and have just as much as you want. But you have to come in faith, and you have to come in the right frame of mind, as the right person, or God isn't going to give it to you. He isn't going to give it to you. He's not going to give it to you to kill with, and to destroy, and to tear down, and to be vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind to dispute with others. He isn't going to give it to you to mix with darkness, to take it out there, and to take this holy thing and take it out there into the night. It's like when I saw the vision and I was in the place where the paintings was, and the voice said, don't you do that. I mean, it told me strong and right down the line. I was fixing to head out of that beautiful place, out of that place of light with that beautiful painting. And as I stepped out into the darkness, it screamed at me and said, "Don't you do that. The law will get you." That was theft. See, you can't do that. Don't go out there. Take this thing out into the darkness. Stay with the children of light. Don't go out there and try to mix it with a charismatic way of life to allow for them over here and set a light by the dead. They that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. And the Bible said, "Cursed is the man that setteth the light by the dead." Don't you go out there trying to give them revelation or do something to them just because they're your family or they're your friends. When you know they're in the darkness and you know they're doing wrong, God will burn your field and you'll find yourself out there in the darkness with them. You invite them to the light and you stay in the light and you walk in the light as He is in the light, having fellowship one with another as to the saints of God, and you be a light as a lighthouse to a ship that's as a wayfarer, and you'll bring it on in. You'll bring it on in, and after a while, they'll see that you can't come to them. That lighthouse can't go to them. They've got to go to the lighthouse. The lighthouse can throw a beam out across the wave, as the song says. And they can see by that there's a light somewhere and tell by that beam they can go in that direction and find the lighthouse. But you can't take the lighthouse to them. God put it in a certain place. And they've got to come to it. Every one of them, mother, daddy, brother, sister, whatever, they've got to come to it. Just like I had to come to it, and just like you had to come to it. All right, I want you to stand with me. We're glad to have you here. Appreciate every one of you being here. Always thank God for every one of you. Always look forward to the services. Look forward to you coming, because it means a lot to us. Now, that might sound a little strong this morning. Like I was preaching on the tent last night, people being of the devil. The Bible said, "Woe unto that man that calls darkness light and light darkness." Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Satan, you get behind me." And he hadn't done near as bad as some of them has done. You say a preacher that comes to remission of sin in Jesus' name and goes on preaching and won't preach it, he's of the devil. And then sometimes my wife will say, "Well, does that sound a little strong?" I said, "Well, we better do it another way." Paul said, "Let him be a curse." I said, "Even if he's an angel." Somebody said, "Well, I think he's religious, and I seen him on TV, and he was doing a good job under the tent when I saw him. He's a pastor of that church." Paul said, "If he be an angel, let him be a curse." All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Kind of reminds me of something. I might not ought to say this. Hope the Lord will forgive me if it ain't right. But it's like my wife. We have such unusual experiences. Yesterday I wanted me an ice cream. So I went and got me a strawberry ice cream. And I was eating my ice cream. And I ate about a third of it. And I said, "Now, Betty, what about eating the rest of this ice cream?" And Betty, she got upset. She said, "That ain't fair." Said, "That ain't fair." Said, "I'm getting bigger and bigger." Said, "That ain't fair for you to do that." I thought, "Oh my lands, what have I done?" So I began to eat my ice cream. And it tastes good. So I thought, "Well, you know, if you don't want it, well, I do." So I began to eat my ice cream. And Betty, she saw the ice cream getting smaller and smaller. She said, "Just give it to me." You love the Lord? I hope the Lord will forgive me. I don't mean to do wrong. Paul said, "Bear with me a little in my folly." Let's sing a chorus together, can we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Altars are open now. Wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Can you sing it one more time with me? We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear that bright and shiny crown. When this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. I really believe you are gonna wear a crown. I believe that some of you really believe in what I'm saying. And I believe you're gonna wear a crown. I want you to slip your hands up with me. We're glad to have you this morning. It's a real privilege to have you here. It's a privilege to minister to you. You're wonderful people. Glad to see Brack. He's got his new bride now. They're here. I believe Brack will pull in a little more and help me a little more in the spiritual side of things since he's married. I pray all the time that you brethren will get good wives and that you sisters will get good husbands. I pray for you that you don't make a mistake and wreck your life and get all wrecked up so that you can have a good time in the Lord and have somebody that wants to go with you. You know, whether you stay at Little Bethlehem or whether you don't, God may send you around the world. I don't know. But wherever you go, that you'll be companions together and labor for the Lord and do something for the Lord. And the most assuredly, that you'll remember Little Bethlehem and those that are here at Little Bethlehem. As we try to do something for God, camp meeting is coming up. Numbers of people are beginning to look in this direction. There's people that wants to be with us. The Eupora meeting, we got the Eupora meeting in Mississippi. I appreciate so much your different brothers and sisters going with us and encouraging us and being a testimony to the different people around to inspire them. Numbers of my children are beginning to come in steadfast to God. They're beginning to see that this is the best way after all. And they're trying to help me, and you can help me. Some of them begin to renew their faith and renew their strength in God. And Going over to Eupora in Mississippi, these people need your help. They are good people. There's so many good people in Mississippi. And they're just good, common, down-to-earth people, and they need your help. They need your strength, and they need what we can tell them about Jesus. People are coming for numbers of miles to be in that meeting, I've heard already. And so you pray. Somebody called Sister Betty from out of South Georgia, from another move of God, and said, we have a work over there. We have a group of people over there. And they wanted their people to be there in our meeting. So then let's pray and let's do something for God. If you haven't done what you need to do, then get with somebody and do it. Here on the home front, come and give me a helping hand. Folks, if you ever get what I got on the inside of me, you'll bubble in such a way that with all of your problems, even your physical depletions, you'll bubble in such a way that you'll just feel good in spite of all. You'll feel that strength, Paul said, being strengthened by the power, the might of the inner man. You'll feel that strength and that power, that freedom, that relaxation, that thing that pulls away from all the pains and the misery and the sorrow and the heartaches. And I tell you what, you'll bubble on the inside and you'll just cry on the inside. And you'll think, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Frank sings that song, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you'll just sing that down in your heart. God will give you a new song. He'll give you a melody. While you're standing here, now you've been a good audience this morning. Forgive me if I say anything, if I scold you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to make you sad. Paul said, after a godly sort, so you'll repent. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. Not sad as to the sadness of the world. See, but I'm trying to tell you to come out from among the people and be ye a new person. To be different so the Lord can receive you, so He can fellowship you. And if I could go into Revelation and bring the mystery of God to you, know that you have to do that because He can't get to you any other way. See, come out from among those people that are doing the evils of the world. Paul said, not in the sense that you cannot go out and eat where there's a sinner, or eat where there's a publican, or eat where somebody is guilty of the evils of the world. He said, I know you can't come out of the world that way. He said, but if one be called a brother or sister, he said, and they do these things, said, don't you so much as eat with them. Get away from them. Don't pity them. Don't stay with them. Don't go contrary to what we're trying to do. Get away from them folks, because evil communication corrupts good manners. While you've got your heads bowed, your eyes closed, your hands lifted up to heaven, I'm going to ask Junior to come up if he will. Junior Beretta. I'd like for Junior to come up and dismiss us, if he will. And while Junior's praying with you, Junior, he's really doing good. He's going on with the Lord. Him and his little wife, he's got his little one now. And Tony, I don't see Tony. Tony was back there. Tony's going along real good, too. Him and his wife and little one. And they're really making an effort. God is blessing my house. He's blessing my household. He's blessing my people. And He'll bless you. If you'll go on with God, God will bless you. He'll bless all that you've got. You know, God is so good. God said to David, David, if you'll do what I tell you, I'll never let it fail that a man should sit upon the throne that comes from your lineage. I'll see that there's one there. But He didn't just do that to David. He said that to Solomon. You can read it in the Bible. He said, Solomon said, as I said to David, if you'll do what I tell you to do, and you'll obey me and do the things I told you to do, and that you promised to do, Solomon, he said, I will see that there not fail a man or seed of you, but what it will set upon the throne. See, God is so good, without respect to person. He's saying that to you today. He loves you today. He's trying to do that for you today. He wants to do it. Do you know something? God would like to do something extra special for you. But you got to get the devil out of you. And you got to get away from the devil. And you got to be right. And you got to quit this thing of going contrary and trying to prove your point and trying to make the people do the way that you want to do. That's self-will and that's evil. God will give you mercy and God will help you. But you got to come the same way that everybody else comes. God's no respect of person. You do good, He'll bless you. You do evil, He'll curse you. All right, as Junior comes to pray with you, let's lift those hands up again. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Can you do that? While Junior's coming to pray with you.